She was instructed to drink the water to assist in the cure. Today the girl no longer suffers from diabetes. Humanity has struggled against a huge number of diseases. Fortunately, medical progress has allowed some diseases to be totally eradicated. Polio was one dreaded disease that caused near panic in the areas where it broke out. Parents kept their children home from school and streets became largely deserted. They knew the horrors of the disease firsthand. Polio is an infectious viral disease that affects the central nervous system. Although not fatal, the disease causes muscle weakness and eventually, paralysis. There are several treatments, but there are no cures. Widespread inoculations have largely eradicated the disease. However, because inoculations are a relatively recent discovery, many people are still suffering from the ravages of the disease. The following two cases both involve people who were cured of this disease by extraterrestrials. Case number 083. Contactee John Adams of Toronto, Canada was stricken with polio of the spine when he was just an infant. He spent 3 years in the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital in Toronto, Canada. Doctors expected that he would die. However, they attempted treatment anyway. He was given gamma globulin, and to the doctor's surprise, the treatment worked. John immediately began a slow recovery. He had always thought that the human doctors were responsible for his recovery. It wasn't until many years later that John even realized he had been having repeated encounters with extraterrestrials. Under hypnosis, he was able to recall his memories of ET contact. It was then that he discovered who was really responsible for his remarkable recovery. Under hypnosis, John recalled scenes of people around me talking. "He has only 6 months to live," and exposing a part of my body, turning to me and asking, "Do you want us to take out the black vein or the red one?" John believes that this is a memory of being cured of his condition by aliens. As he says, "These I am discerning were contacts with other life forms." John now remembers over 7 separate contacts, and says that the visitations continue even today. Case number 086. Contactee Richard Ryalka has appeared elsewhere in this book because of the numerous cures he has received at the hands of extraterrestrials. As a child, Ryalka contracted polio in a public swimming pool in Newark, New Jersey. He was treated by his family with massage therapy. However, at night, he was treated by the aliens who would come into his room and hold a flat instrument over his body. They would manipulate the instrument, which would flash brightly. After the treatments, Ryalka discovered that his paralysis and weakness disappeared. Ryalka is convinced that the aliens cured him of his polio. One condition from which millions of people suffer is infertility. Although not physically painful, this condition can cause untold mental anguish. Being denied the right to reproduce can be a devastating experience. Many people go through great lengths, including experimental and sometimes painful medical procedures, all for the chance of having their own child. The aliens have shown an extraordinary interest in the human reproductive system. One of the central features of an extraterrestrial medical examination may be the removal of reproductive material. Some female abductees report mysterious pregnancies, which vanish after a UFO abduction. Under hypnosis, these women often remember a medical procedure in which a fetus was removed from their bodies. In later abductions, they are shown these children. There are 3 cases on record in which people were cured of their infertility after an encounter with a UFO. The first case, investigated by ufologist Brad Steiger, involves a woman. The second, involving a man, is one of the best-known British abductions on record. The healing aspect, however, is virtually unknown. The third case was investigated by Barbara Lamb and is truly one of the strangest healings on record. Case number 081. One day, Doriel X. of Chicago, Illinois, saw a UFO, date not shown. A short time later, 2 beings mysteriously appeared in front of her. The 2 beings said their names were Litter and Gam, and said that they wanted to incarnate through Doriel. They told Doriel that she was one of them and that she would be perfect for bearing a child. Unfortunately, Doriel had already been diagnosed with infertility. Her doctor had told her in no uncertain terms that she would never be pregnant. Doriel was told by the aliens, however, that she would become pregnant in 6 months. 6 months later, the alien's prediction came true. Doriel was inexplicably pregnant. 9 months later, she had a baby girl by natural childbirth. Because of the unusual conditions involving her baby's conception, she gave her the middle name of Litta. Doriel has no choice but to believe that the aliens cured her of her infertility. She has the child to prove it. And as she says in her own words, "Physiologically speaking, I had been told that I would be unable ever to become pregnant." Large object blocking the road. Case number 047. On November 28, 1980, Police Officer Alan Godfrey of the West Yorkshire Metropolitan Police Force in England was assigned to handle a peculiar problem. The station had received several calls about a herd of missing cows that had been seen in various locations. Godfrey had been twice commended for investigative work involving murders, so this assignment seemed trivial. On the way to find the cows, he encountered a large object blocking the road. At first he thought it was a double-decker bus, but upon closer inspection he saw it was a metallic saucer-shaped object with colored lights hovering 5 feet above the road. He tried to radio the station, but his car's radio was dead. Godfrey had no police training for such an experience, but he quickly realized he was seeing a UFO as portrayed in science fiction movies. As he sat there, sketching the object, Godfrey experienced a jump in time. He found himself further ahead on the road, missing 20 minutes of time. He rushed to the station and returned with several officers to the scene. Although it had been pouring rain all night, the area where the UFO had hovered was completely dry. They found the cows in a fenced area in which they appeared to have been deposited. There were no tracks in the area and the gate was locked at nights. As Godfrey says, the only way they could have gotten there is if something had gone plunk and dropped them. At first, Godfrey was ridiculed by his fellow officers, but when other officers in neighboring counties reported similar experiences, the ridicule seemed to stop. Godfrey then received ridicule from another source, his superiors. They advised him to simply resign. When he refused, his police car was taken away and he was given a bicycle. Eventually, he underwent hypnosis and recalled some of his experience aboard the UFO. Godfrey's wife, upon hearing his experience, made note of a peculiar event. It seems that a year earlier, Godfrey was called to a local disturbance. He ended up being severely beaten by three individuals. During the beating, Godfrey was kicked in the testicles, causing him to lose one testicle. The end result was that he was unable to have a normal sex life and was no longer fertile. As Godfrey says, "I was also told I would definitely be sterile for the rest of my life. I would not be able to father children." One night, a few weeks after the accident, Godfrey's wife was awakened by a strange sound over the house. She tried to wake up Godfrey, but inexplicably, he would not wake up. After a few minutes, the sound left. She never knew how to categorize the experience until her husband mentioned his UFO encounter. Only then did she realize what probably happened. She believes a UFO was responsible for the sound. But it was the next morning that they realized something else unusual had occurred. Godfrey seemed to be completely cured. As his wife says, "The next morning, Alan and I made love for the first time since he was beaten up. And then I became pregnant." Alan, however, became angry and assumed his wife was seeing another man. After all, he was sterile and his wife was pregnant. What other way could this happen? But just in case, Alan went to see the doctor. The doctor was stunned and said that Godfrey was miraculously and impossibly cured. As the doctor allegedly said, "I don't know how it happened. Your condition has been completely reversed. The test shows you're fertile, back to normal. More cures from ETs on serious illnesses. Richard Ryalka is unique among contactees in that he has received more extraterrestrial cures than any other person. He has been cured of injuries, illnesses and diseases. In the following case, he was cured of yet another condition, which has caused him considerable pain. Case number 058. On July 5, 1989, Ryalka received a cure for a life-threatening illness. In the mid-1980s, Ryalka developed a tumor, Svulst, on the right side, his forehead. He was told by doctors that the tumor was related to leukemia, type condition from his childhood. He had already had several benign tumors surgically removed from his body, yet the tumors kept coming back. Ryalka's alien friends advised him not to have more surgery. Unfortunately, tumors kept reappearing, so Ryalka was forced to have another operation. Then, during his stay at a convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey, Ryalka's alien friends, Karan and Nepos appeared and removed one particularly bothersome tumor, leaving no traces. That seemed to solve the problem until years later, when the tumor appeared on Ryalka's forehead. The tumor quickly became inch wide and showed no signs of healing. Friends and family began to express concern that it would affect his health. By 1989, Ryalka was also becoming concerned. Then, on July 5 of that year, Ryalka received a house visit by one of his ET friends. The ET told him that they were aware of his tumor and had been searched for a method to remove it. The aliens took him aboard a UFO and told him that they were going to test a new healing device on him. They placed a small handheld instrument that emitted a beam of light. Ryalka was placed in an unconscious state and reports that he felt no physical sensation. When he awoke, the aliens told Ryalka that his tumor was gone. H was instantly beamed back into his bedroom. Once in his bedroom, Ryalka dashed to the mirror and saw that the aliens were right, his tumor had vanished. Nearly 100 people had witnessed Ryalka's tumor, so when it disappeared, it amazed a great number of people, all of whom verified the cure. Ryalka states that many people seemed surprised, making comments like, "My God, they're not all bad, are they?" Today, Ryalka continues to maintain contact with his extraterrestrial friends. 7 Simultaneous UFO Abduction and Healing. Case number 031. In October 1973, in a small town in the mid-western United States, Pat Roach and 3 of her 7 children experienced a simultaneous UFO abduction. All of them except the youngest experienced a period of missing time and only remembered the experience under hypnosis. This case was investigated by several well-known UFO researchers, including James Harder PhD, Captain Kevin Randall, and Jim and Coral Lorenzen. They performed hypnosis on the witnesses, and a typical UFO abduction scenario was revealed. The youngest, Debbie Dottie Roach, however, already had full conscious memory of the event. Same as in the Janos contact. Right after the event occurred, Pat assumed they had been a prowler. Debbie said simply, "They were spacemen. They didn't make me forget. They told me not to tell anyone except those in my family." Debbie then gave a detailed description of the aliens, the ship and what happened when they were all taken on board. According to Debbie, they were all told to get on a machine. Debbie, who had been very ill all her life, was told by the aliens that she would be healed. As Debbie says, "The one that stood in the corner asked my name. And he said that I wouldn't be sick anymore." As the report says, Pat had said that Debbie had been very sad before the aliens arrived and they had done something to or for her. The sickness was gone after the aliens left. As we have seen, people have been cured of all kinds of disease by extraterrestrials. Many of these diseases are considered to be chronic and/or incurable. Obviously, it is our own limitations that cause a disease to be labeled incurable. It may be that there is no such thing as an incurable disease. Cancer is a very dangerous disease, yet aliens seem to be able to cure it relatively easily. Cancer can, of course, go into spontaneous remission, making it difficult to pinpoint the actual cause of a cure. The following case involves a cancer cure that may or may not be attributable to a UFO experience. Case number 052. In the mid-1980s, Edward Garlos of Pennsylvania discovered a mark on his lower body that was diagnosed as cancerous. Carlos immediately had an operation and the cancer went into remission. However, Carlos attributes the remission to the energies he experiences through gardening and water, color painting, and to the energies transmitted to him by the abduction process. It may seem that contactees are lucky to have alien friends that cure them of various illnesses and diseases. However, being a contactee is not all fun and games. Like many people who report UFO encounters, contactees are often accused of lying and are even shamelessly ridiculed. When contactees go public with their experiences, they can leave themselves wide open to this kind of attack. Usually, contactees are chosen in order to fulfill a certain task, and they're often expected to tell people of their experiences, despite ridicule or disbelief. Of course, contactees must maintain good health to complete their mission. The Wixes, with whom you should be familiar by now, are just a few of the many contactees who have gone public with their experiences. Among the many cures they have received, there is also one healing of cancer. Case number 092. Elizabeth X. is one of the many Earth people that Bert and Denise Twiggs have seen aboard the Androm mothership. Elizabeth witnessed Bert being cured of cancer he didn't even know he had. Elizabeth clearly remembered that the aliens diagnosed Bert with lung cancer. They promptly performed surgery, and removed the cancer from the lung in which it had appeared. Another cancer case comes from well-known UFO researcher Wendell C. Stevens, who is responsible for bringing a number of contactee cases to public attention. Case number 084. An unidentified Hungarian woman told UFO researcher Wendell C. Stevens that she was a contactee. Stevens reports that the woman told him that she had been taken aboard UFOs on four separate occasions. While on board, she claims to have met friendly aliens who cured her of cancer. She refused to go public with her experiences after being warned by Hungarian government officials to remain silent. The cancer cures are the most dramatic and unbelievable of all UFO cures. They seem to involve complex procedures with many instruments. Beams of light are often used, as they are on other illnesses. Sometimes open surgery is required. In other cases, pills are given. The case which follows involves all these methods of healing. Evidently, the cancer was bad enough that it involved extensive attention. The case gripped the entire UFO community when it was first revealed by Brazilian journalist João Martins and UFO investigator Olavo T. Fontes, who was the official medical investigator of UFOs for the Brazilian government. It was also published in an article by UFO investigator Gordon Creighton in the popular journal, Flying Saucer Review. Today, the case has become one of the most well-known and widely reported of all UFO healings. Case number 011. On October 25, 1957, an anonymous family in Petropolis, Brazil was visited by a UFO, which cured one member of the family of terminal stomach cancer. According to the report, the family was very wealthy, and the father was a powerful and influential figure in society. The man's young daughter was suffering from stomach cancer and doctors expected that she would die. The daughter's disease progressed quickly. She was suffering intensely on the night the UFO visited TH family. What follows is the first-hand testimony of Anitsu Maria, who was the family's maid and an eyewitness to the event. It appeared originally in the book, UFO Abduction at Mirassol, published by Wendell C. Stevens of the UFO Photo Archives. It was the following letter which first brought the case to the attention of the UFO community. Dear Senior Martins, I have read your articles and desire to compliment you on them. I believe in the existence of the flying discs because I personally witnessed the incident here related. I don't know if you will believe me, but I assure you that what I am going to tell you is the truth. I am poor, but honest. I will not mention the whole names involved, but I am sure you will understand. My name is Anitzia Maria. I am 37 years old and actually live in Rio de Janeiro. I have worked in the home of Senior X since December 1957. You must excuse me for not mentioning his name, for he is a wealthy and influential man of this city. The daughter of my employer suffered from cancer of the stomach. She suffered considerably, and I was employed to serve as a sort of governess, and to assist the Senorita Tule, the daughter with cancer. She had been given many and diverse treatments to control the cancer, but the doctors had said there was no hope. In August of 1957, my employer sent the whole family to a small farm near Petropolis, hoping his daughter would improve in the better climate. But the days passed with no improvement. Le could no longer eat, and her suffering was horrible and became worse every day. She was given constant injections of morphine to control the pain. I remember the night of 25 October very well. We expected her to die, as the pains of Senorita Tule were terrible. The injections seemed to have no effect. Her father was singing a verse when suddenly a strong bright light came onto one side and shone directly on the house. We were all in the room of Senorita Tule, whose window was situated exactly on the side of the house from which the light came. The only light inside was a small lamp at the head of the bed. "Cock," cried Julino, a brother of the dying girl, as he ran to the window and saw a disc-shaped machine there in the light. It was not very big, and I am not learned enough to be able to say what its diameter might be or its height. I know that it was not very big. The upper part was enveloped in a luminescence of a yellowish, reddish color. Suddenly, a port automatically opened in the object and two small beings emerged. They came toward the house while a third one remained in the port of the disc. I noticed on the interior of the disc, through the port, I could see a green light dimly like can be seen in nightclubs. The humans came into the house. They were short, about 1.20 meters tall, smaller than a younger son of my employer who was 10 years old. They had large heads on top of their shoulders, reddish ears, small slanted eyes, like Chinese, but their skin was a vivid green. They had something on their hands that I thought were gloves. Their suits were white and seemed to be thick. The chest, the sides and the cuffs shined brightly. I do not know how to explain. They came up to the side of Senorita Tule, who moaned in pain, eyes wide open, and not understanding anything that was going on around her. Nobody moved or spoke in the terrible tension. I was there in the room with Senior X and his wife, Senior Julino, and his wife, and Ottavino, the younger son of my employer. Those humans looked at me silently and stood at the side of the bed and lay, placing the instruments that they carried on the top of the milky coverlet. They made a gesture towards my employer, and one of them placed his hand on the forehead of Senior X and discussed the case of Senorita Tule with a bluish light that showed all of her interior. We saw all there was inside the belly of the girl. With another instrument that emitted a noise, he pointed it in the direction of the stomach of Lea, and we could see the cancer. This operation lasted about a half hour. Then Senorita Tule went to sleep and they left. But before leaving the house, they communicated with Senior X telepathically that he would have to give her medicine during 1 month. Then they gave him a sphere made of stainless steel, like metal, which contained some 30 small white pills. She was to be given one per day and she would be cured. Le later returned to her doctor, who verified that her cancer had been cured. I have left that house, but I promised to absolutely guard the secret of this case. Therefore I have told you, but I must guard the true identity. If you mention this case in your articles, it is of no consequence, because I have withheld the names of the people involved in this. But I assure you that everything I have said is real. Le was condemned to die of cancer of the stomach, and, in spite of this, she was saved by an instrument that looked like a flashlight, that emitted rays that dissolved the cancer, and she survived. They saved Senorita Le and the same night returned to the flying machine and were gone. Still more. the underwater UFO base visit by the Swedish Henry. His UFO experience from the Canary Islands. Alf Holmqvist is 73 years old. For 25 years he worked as volunteer with Letter Circle Arcanum. In December 1978 issue of this letter tells Alf on a friend's UFO experience in the Canary Islands. I'll contact Alf for permission to include this story and gets to know the following. Had I not known Henry so well, had it all appeared to be a pure imaginary story. Healthy, Henry was in a deplorable state the day he visited me in Malmö in November 1977. He had practically been more or less ill since birth. He suffered from stomach problems, nervous disorders and a form of blood disorder whose nature I now cannot remember. In any case, he came to me to ask me if I thought he would go down south to the heat during the winter months. Down there, he would do better than here in the winter cold. Henry had the peculiarity that he is constantly arguing about his disease, and this did not help. He talked about aches all over the digestive system and especially in the large intestine. "I will not survive another winter here at home," he said. "Give me your advice. What should I do?" I advised him to travel, but that he should first get a good travel insurance so that he would quickly be able to come home by air if necessary. In May 1978, 6 months later, Henry came home again and he was completely healthy. For the first time in several years, he was completely free from all pains and moreover, he had stopped talking about it. I asked what had happened down there at the Canary Islands and was told the following. One evening in mid-March 1978 there was a strong earthquake. Henry was reading a book when the whole house started shaking. He was afraid that the house would fall down and ran out. He had rented a small house on the westernmost island of the Canary Islands. The house stood atop a small hill next to the volcano on the island. It was 9 o'clock at night and it was completely dark outside. The hill was about 200 meters from the sea and about 35 meters above water level. Well out of the house, he saw three bright spots in the Atlantic Ocean only a few hundred meters from the beach. They formed an equilateral triangle with about 300 meters between each corner. Above this triangle, on top of the cloudless sky, was a very strong circular light, whose beam was directed downwards. After a minute it was all over. The lights were gone, the house was completely alone, and Henry went back inside and laying down to sleep. He felt a bit upset but fell asleep anyway. A few days later he laid back and read a book when he suddenly felt watched. He looked up and saw a light shining creature in the room who stood looking at him. He was frightened, but bright creature tried to calm him and he did it in the purest Swedish. "I come to help you with your debilitating illnesses, but first I want to ask if you noticed anything special the other night." "Yes," replied Henry. "There was an earthquake at about 9 and I ran out of the house. I saw three lights in the sea that seemed to come from above. It came in the form of a beam and was directed at the center of the triangle formed by the lights of the sea. Soon after, the shaking stopped on the ground." "It is quite true," replied the stranger. "There was a sense that the islands would disappear into the sea then. These islands are the remains of the sunken continent of Atlantis. But we have concluded that there are many good people on the islands right now, and we went in and lifted the disaster in time. Tonight, I cannot do anything about your illness, but I'll be back with a couple of friends to help you." When a few days had gone, they returned, and like the first time, Henry felt himself watched again. Now he was ready for their coming and was not afraid. They were three, which came to the bed where he was laying. Without a sound they started a kind of healing on him. As if by magic ended those constant pains. They asked if Henry wanted to go with them down to their city on the seafloor. Henry was excited and thanked yes immediately without more thinking about it. It was the middle of the night and all four went down to the beach where there was a flying craft. Afterwards Henry noted that it resembled the famous Adamski model. They boarded the craft. Inside this, there were some other beings with the same look as the other three. They were about 185 centimeters tall, looked largely as Earth people. Their eyes were friendly and they looked very smart, Henry felt small and inferior, he said. The whole spacecraft went as an elevator down to the seabed down there, it went in through an airlock. They arrived in a gigantic dome made by unknown material. Down there was a whole little town with 16,000 inhabitants. They told Henry that they had 7 such stations in the water on Earth and that their purpose was to prevent a global catastrophe of atomic character.